Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show.
I haven't.
I thought we were already rolling.
No, I'm sorry. Now we are. Now we're rolling. Happy New Year.
I guess. Whatever.
First episode of the year. Fucking.
You said, and welcome to January.
You said.
I feel like I've already forgotten most of what happened in this movie.
I'm a little torn because so we both knew nothing about this movie, obviously, going in. Which really, it just was about the one. I mean, she has three, but
Boy, which would be a better title, it would not be a better title for this movie.
It would not be a title that, it's not a good title. I don't know why anybody would want, I would never want to, it sounds like,
it's also, yeah, it should be Mama's Boy.
There's like a movie that's like Grandma's Boys or something like that. Yeah, it's a terrible title, but I was really torn because when we started it, it was like based on a book written by a man.
Yeah.
Directed by a man,
yeah.
Written by men, produced by the Weinsteins. And I was like, oh my God. But there's a lot of, like, I think that it doesn't do a good job of laying a foundation.
Agreed.
Of her craziness. Right. But I think it does a pretty solid job of showing that she doesn't necessarily have to do really fucked up shit for fucked up shit for it to be fucked up shit that she's doing. Like, she doesn't it doesn't have to seem like, you know, making her kid.
She doesn't have to boil a rabbit.
Right. Exactly. She's not like breaking into their house and like holding them at knife point and shit like that. She's just like, I want to see my kids and I want to have access to my kids. And it's like, okay, so when there is a custody battle of any kind, it doesn't matter who is the one who's seeking custody or if anyone's seeking custody or if it's just that you want to retain custody, anything like that. If you do anything to keep a parent from seeing that child, you can lose custody, basically. Mm. You have to allow. It doesn't matter how shitty they are. Mm-hmm. If the courts have not gotten involved and said no, you have to let that parent see the kid. And it does do a good job of like, they're like, he's like, I don't want my kids anywhere near her. And they're like, okay, great. Do you want to lose custody of your kids? Cause that's what's going to happen.
Right.
They're like, she's their mom. And you can't just be like, I don't like her. And I don't want, you know, they're like, she's crazy. Great. That's not a solid, you know, they're like, and I like when they're like,
well, and they're like, we could do a psych eval.
Yeah.
But that could backfire.
Exactly.
Explain to me how it could possibly be in their best interest to see a mother who
the bottom line is, she's still their mother, Robert. So unless she's smoking crack and dealing drugs, and even then, the law's on her side. She's their mother.
So there's nothing you can do?
Well, we could request everyone go through a complete psychiatric evaluation. If she fails, you're in great shape.
And if she passes?
You could lose the boys.
So I have to let her see them.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that because I'm like, yeah, that is more, especially since she comes from money.
The two scenes that Paul Guilfoyle are in.
Yeah. He's got the greatest voice. He's someone that, like, despite the fact that he's got an amazing voice, I'm not attracted to him, which is
That is surprising.
Yeah, right. He's ugly enough that he would be my type.
I think he's just boring.
Boring. There's just something. Yeah, I guess. He's never really done anything other than, he's the guy that's like, look, here's the facts. And that's all he's ever done.
Oh, wait. Is he the cop in Dreams? Is that?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's in Dreams. Right. He has all the material. He was like one of the guys in one of the main people of, well, not main people, but like one of the side main people in CSI.
Side main people. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, like not one of like the main characters, but one of the people that's in like every single episode. Like,
right. He's on some specific task force. Right. He's got some specialized.
He was like the cop, like, because they're CSI, so they're the crime scene investigators. And so the show's about them. But he was like the actual
detective
cop,
or something.
Yeah. Involved in all of the cases. So he's in every episode and he's a main part of every episode, but you're not like, oh yeah, the star of CSI, Paul Guilfoyle. Did I do it right? Did I say it right? Okay, God, I'm never convinced that I know how to say that man's name. It always feels wrong. I'm like, Guilfoyle?
Yeah, that's got to be a Welsh name or something.
Anyway, and I'm going to tell you, this movie, apparently, I've woken up and I've just been thinking about every fucked up thing my sister ever did. So weird. So this movie definitely, I'm like, okay, maybe it did do a good job of showing. Because I think it does, they never show you who wrote whore on her car.
Yeah.
So you're like, they do a lot of things where.
She never outright denies it, I don't think.
She never does. She does a lot of stuff where she's just like, the only time you really see her accusing her. Like, I really loved the scene where she goes crazy in that bitch's office.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I will say that it's somehow.
Yeah.
Unlike.
Yeah.
The movies it's definitely trying to capitalize off of, like, right. Fatal Attraction.
Correct.
And, what? Basic Instinct. Jesus Christ.
I didn't know. It's like, I don't know what part you got hung up on.
I don't even know what to call it. Like, she's not necessarily more sympathetic, but she seems like more of a real person.
Yeah. Like, well, I will say, like, it's, I mean, and I don't know if it's like I don't know
like
how
the crazy that she
no,
is.
No, that's what it's
feels
gonna say.
More
right. I don't know if
like,
it's. I don't know if it. I mean, like, I'm gonna say kudos to Jamie Lee Curtis. Obviously, she's an amazing actress, so she can can do fucking anything.
It's not about nepotism.
But like, yeah, there was such a. It was a very tangible, like, because you're like, why don't I trust her?
Yeah.
Like you just
and
feel
the fact
weird.
That she comes from money is an interesting factor in
right.
all of it to, mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, and the fact that it's like. It.
Hello, mother.
The only thing, I don't want to say it was, it makes sense to her, you know, issues with her kids and stuff like that, not really knowing how to be a mom, but like wanting to not really knowing how to connect with them other than like almost in a sexual way.
Right.
You know? It makes sense for that, but like I'm like, I really don't think that it's always the best idea to be like, yes, you're crazy because your dad had sex with you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, yeah, okay. It's going to fuck you up, but it doesn't mean you're going to fucking be a psychopath and try to kill you.
Or, like, that you repeat exactly the same things.
Yeah. Like, right, or whatever. Yeah, it's like...
Which is what your read, which I don't disagree with. I just was like, I don't know, is this what they're doing? The closing scene where it's a slow zoom on Kes's face.
That's where it was like...
And they're like...
Because there's a scene... where, so Kes is her old, not from Star Trek Voyager, but from
this movie. Is,
yes. It's her oldest son. And she has three sons, and they all three somehow came from her and
looked
Peter Gallagher,
like.
And yet none of them have the eyebrows.
Yeah.
I will say that.
His eyebrows always look fake.
I mean,
that's
so
not an insult. They're just the shape and size of them look like you would, like, you know, like a kid's disguise kit you would get.
Here's what I think it is. I was looking at the movie last night and I was like, yeah, he has too much eyebrows. There is no way that his eyebrows don't get sculpted because there's just too much hair.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah. They're too defined,
yes,
for it to not look like. And you're like, wait, if they're so defined, why are they still there,
yeah,
that much? Like, it, yeah, just, it's a little bit off. You're like, wait.
Yeah.
So he, like, Peter Gallagher is one. I don't know what it is. There's something about his expressions or his face shape. He just reminds me so much of my brother that,
oh, wild,
despite,
that's right,
him being very attractive, I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. There's something about it. I'm like, no.
Is it his, like, New York accent?
Yeah, it's his New York accent, yeah. There's just something. I don't know. It's just, maybe it's the he does this a lot where he's like, maybe it's that, but I just, I can't.
Can you
anytime
imagine
he's in a position.
Singing,
anytime he's in a position where it's like.
256 inch.
That sounds almost sexual, but my, yeah, brother was, because they had the Subway $5 foot long, and it used to be the song. They'd be like, $5 foot long or whatever. And my brother said, 256 inch, I can't eat that much. And which is funny because, one, he
joke,
absolutely could. And two, it was just, it was a
that's
banger.
A good bit.
Yeah, it was a banger. He's good at making shit up at like that. He's so funny. My brother's so fucking funny. It's irritating. Like, he can make,
I forget this,
anyone laugh. Just describing something, like he was like describing like someone driving too fast, mm-hmm, while he was on the back of like a bike, like a motorbike, and it was the funniest fucking thing. And I was like, God damn it, how are, yeah, you so fucking annoying, so fucking dumb. And I mean, he's dumb not in, he's smart in a book, he's book smart, but like people dumb, you know. And yet,
so Audie,
and yet he's like, can, like, completely dominate. Like, he can go into a party and he's the star of the show. And I'm like,
oh, that's wild.
Fucking piece of shit. So aggravating. Like, it's so aggravating.
Right.
And I'm like, how do you do this? I don't, it's always aggravated the shit out of me.
You think he and Austin would get on?
Yeah. But not for long. Because they would not be able to communicate with each other.
Right.
It would be like first meeting, they're great. Second meeting, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
You're fine. So, oh, what was I saying though? I was saying something.
Gallagher,
oh, yeah. I was, yeah, I don't know. You said something about Peter Gallagher's eyebrows. And then I went on a tangent about my brother. So, Kes plays the brother, or the oldest son.
Correct.
The brother. And he is kind of the one, I think, because he, I think he's supposed to be like 11 or 12 or something like that.
Oh, I thought he was supposed to be like 14.
Oh, I don't remember. Anyway. So he's sort of like the oldest and he's the one that the mom is sort of trying to.
He says it when she's like, you drive.
Yeah. Well,
I forget.
He says he's 12. He says I'm 12.
Jesus.
Okay. You drive.
Jude, I'm 12.
What, your father doesn't let you drive? My father taught me when I was 10.
So she is like doing a lot of work to connect with him the most, and
right,
like doing a lot of like, you're the most special one. You're the one that I have the connection with. You're the one that, you know, I always.
They had,
know,
to cut you out of me.
I know. Oh, God. That whole scene was like so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh, I hate this. And then I was like, no, that's a great scene.
No,
it
really was.
So awful. Like, it's the whole scene is so. Because she's in the bathtub making him come talk to her and like telling him how much he like loves her and shit, and like in the womb, like he wouldn't, like they, she couldn't deliver him. They had to literally cut him out of her because he wouldn't come out. And then she stands up and makes him look at her naked, and she's like, here's the scar, you need to look at it. And I'm like, ugh! It's so good. But I'm like, this is such a good example of like someone being like, how is that inappropriate?
Right.
You know, like, it's a very interesting, and it does a really good job of like the subtle manipulative sort of like tactics where like, you know, something's wrong, but like, especially when you're a kid, you're like, okay, I know this wasn't good, but like, how do I explain it where I don't myself sound like I was fully aware.
Complicit.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of it happens where, you know, absolutely. You're like, wait, something happened. And I like let it happen because I didn't really understand, but now I know. So I feel like if I say it now, they're going to be like, well, how do you know? If you didn't know then, how do you know now?
And yeah, right.
Like, oh, fuck, I don't know. Oh. You know, and it's a really good way. I mean, unfortunately, it's a really good way to trick kids because you're like, you know, and coming from someone.
Someone in the closet.
Coming as from someone who's done that, like people will fully blame you and they'll be like, you should have known better.
Yeah, right.
You shouldn't have. And it's like, wait, what? How am I getting in trouble? And you know, and they're always like, well, I don't care if you're a child, if you know it's wrong, then why did you let it happen? And you're like, oh my God. And
because that's
like,
a skill. Every child is taught is how to state a boundary and then also stick to it and also
make other people like you know,
remove yourself if it's not honored.
And like, but it really does as a kid, you're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Fuck. I guess I have to be hyper vigilant at all times to make sure I'm not in the, and then anytime something happens, you're like, shit,
my fault,
you know? And then people are like, why don't you ever talk about these things? And you're like, ha, 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 what? Anyway, so.
It turns out this movie may have been a little personal for me.
Disclaimer. But it's sort of like disclosed at one point that it's sort of disclosed. Jamie Lee Curtis's mother in the movie, played by Vanessa Redgrave, tells Peter Gallagher's new girlfriend that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, Jamie Lee Curtis is Jude's dad, like, killed himself, and she was the one that, like, saw, or I didn't really know if she, like, saw him jump, or if she just, like, came into the room afterwards.
When she was just a little older than Kes, she went with her father to his office one Sunday. Apparently, Judith was in another room when her father climbed out of the window onto the 20th. Story ledge and simply stepped off. I think of her coming back into the empty office, looking out the open window. Oh dear. I think of her looking out that window. And to this day, she blames me.
You know, it was a little bit, yeah. It was a lot of, done. She did it. Well, I feel like it was great because I'm like, this is how people trauma dump. They're just like, yeah, by the way, this thing happened. You're like, well, oh, shit, I can't ask for clarification.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay. She's like, that's awful. She's like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, the kids can just stay over. And you're like, oh. But then she says something like afterwards, like later in the movie, she says something to Jude about like, she, like, I guess he, I felt like the implication was that he killed himself because the mother was going to leave.
Yes.
With Jude because she found out that he had been abusing Jude. Yes.
I get that,
but I'm like, this makes sense in it, may like to put it in that way, it makes sense of why Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't necessarily have boundaries with her own children or know how to have the proper relationship with her own kids.
Yes,
but I feel like it's more geared towards like her whole craziness is because of this. But I'm like, no, but it would make it would make more sense. Like people often when they have that sort of like traumatizing sort of like upbringing or the parents are inappropriate with them, they're like, wait, how are you supposed to talk to your kid? You know, mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily their fault, especially if they didn't get help for it or mm-hmm. no one ever told them that they needed to get help for
right.
it or they don't ever talk about their shit. You know, they're not going to necessarily know that like what's proper, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm not fully sleeping with my kids. So clearly I'm a better parent.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's
right.
like, well, yeah. doesn't mean it's appropriate. But anyway, so it and like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
Well, and
of course,
fact that she apparently every time she gives birth has to run away.
Right. Yeah. Well, they said she only did it with Jude. Or
no, she did twice.
Oh, I thought he said. I thought he. Oh, okay. She had three kids. That's. Oh, I didn't realize she left after the last kid. That's when she left. Because.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But anyway.
There was some time before yeah. she left for good.
So, what's this? Kes. God, fuck. When she left with Kes. Every time they said Jude, I would be like, Jude's Kes? And Kes
yeah,
would be like,
I know.
Who's she? Anyway, so it ends with like Jamie.
Everybody else,
Curtis.
By the way, has totally boring ass normal white
ben,
people names.
Michael.
Peter Gallagher is what? David or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, and Callie.
Yeah.
What?
Anyway, so it ends with like Jamie Lee Curtis's character dying, but I kind of loved how they did it.
Yeah.
Because it's a very like it really happened in a way I was assuming it was gonna happen, but it did not happen the way I expected it. And it was so like
that whole
scene was bonkers.
That whole last segment.
Right.
Starting from fuck, I guess when Callie runs off with the kid in her arms.
No, when Ben trips with the glass. That from that point on, that's where it's like,
fair. Yeah.
What is happening? Yeah, it's the
or
final.
We can even say when they start the game.
Yeah.
Which what is this game?
Trial. I know. I'm like, what is happening? Anyway, yeah. So. So
this movie
it's a film
bottom heavy, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
It's a lot of, I mean, it's not boring per se, but like, feels like not a whole lot happens compared to what is shoved into the last
right
15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, so,
worth it though.
When she died, like, basically, like. Kes sees her die and he watches her fall. And so the movie ends. I mean, like, you know, there's a couple things that happen barely between, you know, her dying and the very last shot. But it's just a slow zoom on Kes's face and just sort of like him not really having an expression. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, are they doing the whole thing of like, it repeats itself, you know, like you do it to your kid does it, you know, to
smile.
Their kid. Right. Yeah. And
remember smile.
I do remember smile.
Smile follows. It smiles.
It smiles. Fuck.
No, I don't mean Pennywise.
Yeah.
No, don't come at me with that shit.
Fucking. But, you know, that was a little bit like, I was like, oh, I don't really like that if that's what they were doing. But like you said, it's not necessarily what they were doing. It's just like, if that's what it felt like they were doing.
Yeah.
Because like the mom, the Vanessa Redgrave's character, like made a big deal about how like, you know, her seeing it and, you know,
right.
she can't imagine what that would be like. And they go so hard on that I'm like, oh, fuck, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that she does where she's like very... it's really definitely.
It's particularly enjoyable because, according to the trivia, anyway, this is the first time Jamie Lee played a villain,
right? Which is interesting.
and it's a really interesting characterization
because
of her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
I was not excited because I was like,
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't want to say I wasn't excited. I thought it was going to be a lot more. like kooky, crazy.
Yeah.
You know, those movies you mentioned that mm-hmm. I can't remember now. Where it's like,
but that's what I like. It's
a
like
crazy woman,
maybe unintentionally.
Yeah.
Or just specifically because it's Jamie Lee. It does not have the same feel as those. Yes. And also Single White Female, I referred to during while we were watching it. I was like, what, 10 minutes in? And I'm like, there's a 50-50 chance at this point. I'm giving it 50-50 that
there's this
Single White Female essay on a dude by her.
Yeah. Almost. She does inappropriate.
Which I appreciate it.
Yeah, she does inappropriately touch him multiple times. And he's like, no. We're not going to do this. And
those were annoying because of him.
That's fair. I lost my shit. I lost my shit because the person who plays Callie is the fucking bitch from Willow, which I was like, oh. And I mean, Willow, I don't know why. I remember I tried to watch it as an adult, and I was like, this is one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life. So I, am afraid to rewatch it now.
That's what I've always been assumed.
But see, I don't know. That was me at, 20-something, where, you know, I'd seen The Matrix. I mean, so I was like, where's all the action, man? Right. And now I'm like, oh, would I actually enjoy it now because of its, you know, it would be more nostalgic or, you know, I have, a much higher appreciation for things now in that realm. But it was definitely influential for her. She was I was like, wow, she's so interesting. And, you know, it's one of those things. I think it's you don't know that she's a woman at first, you know? Yeah. And she's wearing, you know, until she takes her helmet off and then she has long flowing hair and it's like, oh, this bitch, you know? But
after she saves their asses.
Yeah, probably. I think. But yeah, it's been forever since I've seen it, so I don't remember. But
I've never seen it for the record.
But yeah, she plays Callie, and
give it up for that wig or whatever.
Oh my god,
it's happening!
I couldn't tell. I really couldn't tell if it was a wig or not because it looks like a wig, but it also looks so fried that I'm like, she just has curly hair, and they were trying to straighten it out as best they could, and it was absolutely trashed. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry for whatever happened here.
Yeah.
It's
brutal and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
And it, oh yeah, it's so.
It's very distracting, whatever's going on.
The scene where she's just laying down by the fucking fireplace, that's where I was like, what is happening?
And there's a bottle of champagne and a book, were you masturbating or?
my impression was that it was supposed to be she was supposed to have a date with Peter Gallagher and he forgot to show up or something or missed it.
No, isn't that when
he's, yeah, but I think because the phone rings and she answers it and she's like, Peter or whatever fuck his name is.
Yeah.
Whatever fuck.
Whatever fuck, is this you?
But yeah, so many, yeah, a lot of really, I think there's a lot of things that are done that feel subtly uncomfortable that I really appreciated.
Robert.
No, I can't, that can't be right.
Hello? Hello, Robert?
Robert Madigan.
Oh, right? My God. But they call him Peter, right? I just know. This is why I'm
Bobby.
Terrible.
Yeah,
Bobby. I'll have to. I don't know what that is. I know what that is from, but I don't know why it just. In Archive 81, which I've seen 7 million times. Because Martin Donovan's in it.
You're about due for a
rewatch. I know. I was watching.
Once you finish True Blood.
I know. I'm like, oh, I miss. No, I can double team. I can watch two at a time. No, but fucking. There's a character in it that's shows up on episode 2 or 3 or something. And they're they ask her like what her name is and she's like, Bobby. The way she says it is so fucking weird. And I'm like, why? I don't know. I can't tell. There's like another scene that feels similar where it's like he's on the phone with Martin Donovan, or he's supposed to, it's like you overhear like the phone call and he's like, how are things going? And he's like, oh great. He's like getting settled in. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then it just goes quiet for too long. And he goes, great. And it sounds like it's cut in. Like there was, it just sounds like not smooth. And I'm like, did you cut dialogue out? Or it's so weird. It's so weird. And I always assumed, like the first time I watched it, I was like, that's so awkward. They're going to come back to that at some point and like show what was going on. It's too awkward.
But nope.
And that, no, that didn't. I mean, maybe in second season or something. Cause they said, I know, I was so sad. They said, they were like, yeah, they're like, we had a lot of plans for it. They were like, if you saw something and you thought that we were hinting at something, we probably were. And I was like, yeah, right. There were so many of those that I saw. Anyway, whatever. Bobby. So yeah, there's a lot of like subtlety in how she, also I liked how they didn't seem to pit Callie and Bobby against each other. Like she tried.
Yes.
But that didn't really happen. And that wasn't like the main focus of anything that she was doing. She was mainly just trying to
mostly
get Callie.
The kids.
Yeah, like the kids, but she was mainly trying to get Callie out of the picture. It wasn't like
right.
She wasn't trying to turn him against her or her against the kid. You know, like there was a lot of, she was just like, how do I get Callie away? Because that's the one thing that's going to make me able to. And that also, I think, felt more realistic because she wasn't like just trying to ruin everyone's life, which a lot of times they do this, like, if I can't be happy, then you're all going to burn, you know?
And family, it's
like,
annihilator.
Maybe, right, yeah. And it's like, maybe that can be true, but it would make more sense to, like, that's like a scorched earth approach, which can happen, but usually after you try a bunch of other things first. So it was really interesting that her... And her attempts to get Callie out of the picture backfired no matter what. Like, getting the kids involved, you know, like, trying to, you know, tell her that, you know, Peter Gallagher was like... She's like, he was in an accident. She's like, no, he wasn't. Or she's like, impossible. He was here having sex. He was here with me, fucking, or whatever.
Hello?
Jude, it's Callie. Robert's been in an accident.
There must be some mistake.
The hospital just called.
It's impossible. He just left 5 minutes ago. We were fucking.
I can still taste him.
So good.
The delivery of that was so brilliant. Insane.
Brilliant.
And her punching the fucking windows and shit. God. There was a lot that I really... Yeah, it was... Like, it wasn't as, like you said, like, there, not a lot happens.
Right.
So it's not like, it doesn't try to, like, show you, like, all this fucking crazy-ass behavior and, like, all these, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, it's not quite like, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, where she fucking, right. like, tries to kill fucking everyone in their life, you know?
Julianne Moore.
Yeah, the fucking, where she like fucking, you know, the greenhouse where she kills Julianne Moore and then she like says that that Ernie Hudson is touching their child.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do kind of love. Not that they do that, but like that is, you know.
Tracks.
Yeah, right. Like the someone who has no reason a black adult male, you know. Like, well, you know.
And he's also got, you know, he's...
Yeah, learning impaired. Disabled. Yeah. he's head disabled.
Yeah.
So,
And somehow, like, I think this is more the lens of history or what have you. I mean, it's, of course, subjective, but, like, unlike those other ones, too, this, like, this is what I mean. Like, it's not quite like she's more sympathetic, but somehow it reads less overtly misogynistic.
Yes.
Where those movies definitely felt like some kind of weird backlash against some perception about feminism.
And I mean, this is not to be like, this movie is, like, for it being written, directed,
Also, apparently has, except for the character names, this is almost, it bears almost no resemblance to the novel.
That's funny. Not surprising at all. I love when they, why? Why
I know.
Just make a movie.
I guess they think it,
yeah,
people, it makes people more interested.
It's so fascinating. Even, even
if you've never heard of the book.
Maybe they're just like, I hate coming up with character names. Can I just borrow all these?
I also love when you know, it's like usually the books near the checkout, when that still happened, it would be like, now a major motion picture.
Yeah. Major motion picture.
Major motion picture.
It's like, there's a lot of...
But you're right. There's not enough foundation. Like, she kind of just shows up and is crazy.
And I
mean, that's the thing. Like, it does get you there.
Yeah.
But it's also... Right.
Well, I think it's like, it would make more... I mean, I think what they're trying to do is make you more... see things more from the perspective of the kids, because they're going to be the ones that are most affected by this. And they're not really going to understand.
Right.
Like, okay, she's a bad person, but like, why? What did she do? Is she really that bad? Mm-hmm. She says she loves me. So like, is it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, so, but I feel like there's not enough perspective.
Yeah, right.
From the kids. I mean, they
you
do
get a lot of
bit
shots
with
Kes. Of Kes.
You get a lot of Kes, like, you know, him acting.
But that one scene in in his room, it's like the only, you know, where the littlest kid comes and gets in his bed and...
The what?
Littlest kid comes and gets in his bed.
Oh, that one. I thought you meant like the room that she had for him, which again, that scene was insane.
Yeah.
Anyway,
where it's just the kids talking to each other. That's like...
That was a great scene.
It's, and it's one where like, once it happens, you're like, oh yeah, more of this would make it more...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grounded,
which
and
I feel like, that was like a really that felt like
and
a
if
very,
it happened earlier, like it felt. Right. I mean, the and kids certainly were talking to each other. Would have been talking to each other now,
right? But I feel like that's something that doesn't really happen in movies, where because they're having like an honest conversation with each other,
right?
And they're not just like, "I'm scared. What am I supposed to do?" You know, like the littlest one.
Unless
comes
the target audience, you know, unless the it's billed as
right. Well, the littlest one comes in, and especially like how he's like, the judge wants to talk to me or whatever. He's like, the judge wants to talk to me and I'm scared. And he's like, what are you scared? You know, he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. And he's like, it's not a test, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, wow. And then the other kid comes in, you know, and they're all having this conversation. And the littlest one is like, Mom came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, she didn't.
Bullshit.
And he's like... He's like, she did. She didn't think I remembered who she was, but I did. And then they're like, why didn't you tell anyone? And he's like, I don't know. Like, you know, like Callie asked me who it was and I said I didn't know, but I really did. And they're like, that's crazy. And then it's like, you know.
Dad's lies sometimes.
Yeah, Dad. Well, he's like.
No, one of them says, Dad's don't lie.
Yeah, he's like, Dad. And then he's like. So-and-so called you a liar, and he's like, I did lie, you know?
Yeah.
And then the mom is like, you know, dads lie sometimes. And I was like, wow, like, this is a really...
Yeah.
Because then you're like, especially... And I do kind of like the fact that she doesn't really lie to him until she establishes that, like, he knows that his dad has lied and is, like, a little bit... Like, you know, she tells him, because he's like, what happened to your head? And she was like, nothing, don't worry about it. You know, she's not lying to him. She's just like, it's nothing, you know, you don't need to worry about that. But she, you know, freaked out in Callie's office and cut herself on the head and then blamed Callie to the principal and shit like that. And they're like, you know, But they didn't tell the kids about any of that because they're like, there's, you know,
yeah, right.
None of that is needs to, you know, like they don't need to be
right.
Deal with any of that. Like that's fucking crazy. So Kes sees the cut on her head and he's like, what happened? She's like, oh, she's like, it's not, she's like, I'm fine. You know, don't worry about it. It's nothing big. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, not lying to him. She's not like out of the gate being like, Kelly's crazy and she cut me, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And then she like has that conversation with him in the bathtub where she's like, I would never lie to you, you know, like, and you know, you love me so much. You didn't want to leave my belly and all the shit. And then it shows him, he like runs out and he's like, you know, and he's like freaking out. And I was like, oh my God. And then she comes in to his room and is like, okay, well, like, let's have a heart to heart and let's figure out how we're going to get rid of Callie. Cause she's really, and he's like, what has Callie ever done? And she's like, well, she cut my head and like all this stuff where she's just like, she doesn't start really blatantly lying to him or like, you know, until she's got him into a place where mm-hmm. she knows he's like,
right,
confused.
Right.
And so, cause it well, wouldn't have doesn't worked it start up until with then.
Her being like, how do you feel about her? And he's like, she's fine.
Yeah.
And she's like, but you don't love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, but you don't love her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really, and it, yeah. And doting on him and very, making it very obvious that he's her favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And in little ways that she, it was, yeah, it was a very interesting sort of, and yeah, it doesn't feel like misogynistic because it doesn't feel like, one, it doesn't feel like, the women in the, even though Callie's not that much of a character.
Yeah.
She's still more two-dimensional than a lot of times the wives.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because she's not like, what have you done? Like, why are you lying to me? She's not like constantly getting mad at him. She's like, okay, what are we supposed to do about this? Like, I want to take care of the kids with you. Like, she's very much.
And she gets at least as much screen time as yeah. Gallagher's character.
Right. If not more.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. And so it's like, it doesn't feel like she's.
And the mom.
Yeah.
Is. I mean, I feel like part of it is the casting. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, the actor that plays Callie does a good job with she's it. Fine. But yeah, it's not like, but like having a Redgrave.
Right. Yeah.
And Jamie Lee in those particular right. roles. And like, I don't know. Like, what is it? I don't know where yeah. to put it.
It's so. Pin it. Right. But it doesn't
like
feel
Glenn
like
Close and Sharon. Right. I mean, I don't know if I don't know how good an actor Sharon Stone is. I don't feel like
that's
I can
fair. Say. Yeah.
Glenn Close is good. And, right. you know, like, but anyway.
But it also didn't, I think some of it is like, while there was nudity and while Jamie Lee Curtis, you do see some nippies and, but yeah, it wasn't like,
a double?
Well, I'm one of them, her tits fully out and it's, but I don't, yeah, I couldn't tell.
No, I mean,
tell.
Just the scene, the full nudity.
Yeah, I couldn't tell because I'm like, well, he showed her tit. So you know what her tits look like. So they're, I don't know how they, you know.
Tits like that are a dime a dozen.
What's interesting is sometimes I.
What an insult!
I've heard tell that like when you have a body double, like you look at them, like you're the one that decides who has uh-huh. the body closest to yours. Which
interesting.
Yeah, I'd be like, which body do I feel is the ugliest? That one's probably the right. one that I feel like looks the most like mine. Anyway, What was I saying?
Sorry. Although she does some nudity.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was saying. Okay. Because we were talking about like it not being like not feeling quite as misogynistic. There's not really sex in the movie. And right. there's not. It's her. She tries to be sexual and her advances are a lot of times are usually rebuffed. You know, they're like, no, mm-hmm. thanks. You know, we're not doing that. So she's not reduced to only being a fuck, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
It's not like I had an affair
well,
with you.
Well, the nudity,
that's
you could argue, is sort of a power dynamic where her yeah. nudity gives her the advantage.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's always, you know, it's always done as a way to overpower someone or to, and it's done in a way that does not, like, it's done in a way that you're doing it and you're like, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable mm-hmm. with this, which is so unusual
right.
for nudity mm-hmm. in a movie, especially.
Yeah. So I mean, she's definitely pretty predatory towards
yes.
Gallagher, although she doesn't, you know, she doesn't
fully
push. She eventually, you know,
yeah, she gives up. Yeah.
And she definitely weaponizes her sexuality, but it's never from a place of like, oh, I'm so little.
Yeah. It's like, right, when she's like, he says something like, he asks her at some point, what, like, she's trying to piss him off. She's trying to get to him to a point because she's recording the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So she's egging him on. Mm. And he asks something like, he's like, what do you do? Like, how do you behave around the kids or something like what, how do you?
Oh, yeah. Are you dressed like this around the?
She's like, no, I look like this. And she takes off her, I mean, you don't even see her naked right. then. But she's like, I dress like this. And she just takes off her robe that you know she doesn't have anything on underneath.
Right.
Leave Kelly and us alone. Leave us alone.
No! I will not leave you alone, Robert. Because in the court's eyes, I am still their fucking mama. So unless you truly relish every penny you've ever earned in your little fucking life, ending up in your lawyer's pocket, you really ought to think about being nicer.
In the court's eyes, you think what you did to those kids makes you a fit mother? Look at you. Is this how you are when the boys are over here?
No. I'm like this.
And she's just like laughing. Oh God, the part two where Peter Gallagher is saying something to her and she's like,
yes.
She's just mocking him. Fucking lost my shit.
That's the same scene, right?
I think so. Oh my God, the face she's making. Like, Jamie Lee, like, oh, fuck. Like, brilliant. I have never seen that done, one, so well. Or ever in a serious movie. Like, it was so fucking funny. I was like, this is so brilliant. Because it's enraging. Like, if you're, like, you're angry at someone and they're literally, like, just making faces at you while you're yelling at them. Oh, my God. Hilarious. Like, yeah. Absolutely yeah. brilliant. Fucking amazing. And I think something, I mean, this is just going to be, like, sort of an aside that doesn't really have anything to do with the movie. Something that I appreciate about Jamie Lee Curtis is sort of her being very, like, real about her body. Like, she's been naked in movies. You've seen her. You know what her body used to look like. And now she's, like, older. She's, like, 70 or something like that, or, you know, close to it. And something, like, I haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once. Still, I want to watch it.
I want to do it this month.
For
Unmissionable.
Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm down with that. But she, like, refused to wear anything that,
like,
hid her belly or did anything. Like, no, she was very insistent. She was like, I wasn't wearing padding. I wasn't wearing anything. She was like, that's my body in that. Uh-huh. And I fucking love that because she's still fucking hot as hell. Like, I don't know what people are on when they're like, oh, person's aged and gotten. I'm like, fucking slap me with them titties. I don't give a shit. You know.
I know. But some people are only attracted to children.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm always going to be. I'm a pervert. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, you're 70 and still hot? Cool. Sit on my lap. Keith loves it. But, like, sorry, I was seeing how long. I think that's something that I enjoy about seeing her. Like, that adds an aspect of, like, seeing her naked in a movie mm-hmm. and, like, enjoying the fact that, like, she, that was her, you know, yes, she, you know, has, like, a very sculpted looking body, but she's not, like, 70 and trying to like be like, that's how I look naturally. And that's how I, she's just like, I've had kids, I've aged, right. And this is now my body. And so there's something that does feel more exciting and enticing about the fact that like, she's just a real person, mm-hmm. and it makes her, and you know, maybe this is creepy or whatever, but it makes her nudity like more interesting and more exciting to see, because I'm like, she's not. And I think that's why it was interesting in this movie, because she was never like there's not, it's not done in a sex scene. It's not ever done in a, I'm so sexy. It's done in a way where like you said, in scenes where like, she normally you wouldn't see someone naked unless they were being overly sexualized, which is not happening.
Yeah, usually it's a sign of vulnerability, right?
Well, it's a sign of vulnerability, but it's also like you'll see a woman being naked in a fight in such an exploitative way. Right. Her tits are out.
Yeah.
She's just wearing like, you know, a pair of thong underwear, and she's just like throwing things.
Yeah.
She's throwing things and her tits are somehow flopping everywhere because she's so angry. Yeah. So her tits have to go flying. And you're like, what is happening? Like,
no, you can in that particular scene where she's just in a robe.
Yeah.
You can easily imagine that wasn't scripted that she was just in the scene.
Correct.
And they kept it.
Yeah. Because it was, and yeah. And that, like, literally. And so there is something about it that feels, that's what I think, that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels mm-hmm. natural. It feels like more realistic, and it adds to, and I think knowing about her feelings on like not changing her body and not pretending and not creating a facade of that isn't a reality. It's like, this nudity isn't done as a way to be like, I'm a real actress, I have tits. It's done in a way that's like, I was, and, you know, it feels like you're watching someone whose tit fell out during an argument. And you're just like, whoa. Right. You know, so it feels like almost disarming in the way that it's probably intended to in the scene. So, yeah, there's just something very, like, real and almost visceral. But you're shit. You know, and it takes you by surprise. And you're almost, because I was like, I was like, oh, yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I act that way anytime I see a tit. So to be fair, but, but like it was, I was definitely like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
And like you said, it's done in a way that's supposed to, it doesn't, it's like, it does feel like it's done in a manipulative way from her end. And you're like, wow, that to feel that in a scene. It like, I mean, I'm not going to say that. Also, I really like, this is completely changes up. There were a lot of scenes that were just like very artistic for no reason. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Like the lighting choices are all very amazing. Obviously intentional.
Just bonkers and brilliant. And where Kes is like dreaming, awake dreaming, whatever's happening. And Peter Gallagher walks in and he's just like almost being completely, like his face almost isn't even recognizable because of how much light is being shown on it. Like Peter Gallagher, I hope that you got compensated for your loss of vision after that scene was filmed. But like, it was so like, what the fuck? Like there's so many like weird ass, and there's so many shots that are like someone dreaming and then being like, like for no reason. Like,
dude, I gotta say, some of the most effective jump scares ever. And straight up jump scares.
Yes!
Like, in a movie you would not expect it from. In a way that...
Hundo.
They felt like modern jump scares.
Yes!
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whatever that means. You know, like...
Yeah.
It's not... I mean, it definitely is a suspense, it's a thriller, right. But not... But they're straight up horror movie jump scares.
Right, yeah.
And the sound design for them, like you...
What? Yes. Crazy. Would you recommend this movie?
I think I've talked myself into recommending it. Yeah.
Definitely. If nothing else, if you're like, obviously we're watching Jamie Lee Curtis movies for the whole month. So if you're a fan of Jamie Lee Curtis, this is going to be a film that you're going to want to watch.
And it's going to stand out because of her villainous role.
Her being blonde was totally.
Yeah.
Like caught me off guard. I was
totally.
It's not like she's never had light hair, but like seeing her that blonde, I was like, who is this bitch?
No, 100%.
It was wild. Oh.
I'm looking up the cinematographer.
Okay. I farted and I'm hoping it was only air.
Turns out he was director of photography on The Birth of a Nation. 2016.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that's about. I don't know. He was director of photography on, I think, the first Twilight movie, it looks like.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, Elliot Davis is their name. The director is Yves Simenon, I assume that's how it's pronounced. He's got, like, only a handful of feature-length movies that I can tell. Everything else is, like, TV movies and television.
Wow.
And, I mean, a few things in French, seemingly.
Well, yeah.
But he's got one called Free Money from, like, 96 or something like that. I would love to do a suite. I think it's probably too late for us, but we might. Anyway, there's this particular genre from late 80s to sort of mid-90s. Yeah. Of this weird, all the films already mentioned.
Yes.
But we watched a bunch of them before we started the pod.
Yes.
And I'd love to revisit it at some point.
Oh, for sure. It's one of my favorite genres of movies.
I would put this one in that.
I agree.
But worth adding to the canon. Like,
yeah.
I was listening to Gourley and Russ talk about Single White Female recently, and they were talking about, like, is this movie really that great, or is it just one that people have, like, a lot of sentimental, like, it was talked up and considered, like...
It's not a good movie. I love it. Single White Female. It's terrible.
I don't love it.
Huh?
I don't love it.
Yeah.
Anyway. But this one, I think, is... It's not a great movie, but it does enough different...
Yes.
To make it worth watching.
Yes. I agree with that. Yeah. I think it stands out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's obviously, it's obviously going to, like, it's obviously following tropes.
Yeah.
And it's doing some things that are, like, you know.
Oh, I also thought of Poison Ivy a couple times.
I wanted to say that it still does more to like, create the characters. And it doesn't, it doesn't do the thing that Poison Ivy does where it's like a grown-ass man fucking a child. Correct. And it's like, boy, what a bitchy, evil child.
Yeah.
What? No, an adult with a dying wife. Like, what? What? Why are we? And he's, what? It's so crazy, you know?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
You know, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, the original title in Sweden or whatever, is Men Who Hate Women.
Makes you think.
Can you hear your mama calling? Your mama wants you back. Can you hear your mama crying? You're the best thing she ever had. What I say, your mama wants you back. Your mama wants you. Oh, I want you, baby. I want you.
Sit on my lap.